We all watched this past Wednesday as the 46th president of the United States was sworn in. But what's interesting about that is that this president was sworn in the midst of violence, protests, 25,000 troops, barbed wire fences, bomb-sniffing dogs, and the list goes on and on. Our country is on high alert, wouldn't you agree? I mean, the tensions are just underneath the surface, just waiting to erupt. In fact, I know that there are more people who are carrying weapons to church than in a long, long time. And what even is worse than that is that this is not what we were created to be. You know that, don't you? You see, if you were to say the wrong thing to the wrong person, or just bring up politics, I guarantee you, we're going to have a holy war in here, aren't we? But that's not what God intended us to be. And that's what I want to focus on telling you or talking to you about this morning. God never intended us to be like this with one another. God intended us to be like this with one another. And that's the way it was at one time. I want you to look at this. At the end of chapter 1 of Genesis, we see these words. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was, what's those two words? Very good. Do you realize in days 1 through 5, he said it was good, but after day 6, he said it was very good. Everything was complete. Everything was ideal. Everything was in order. Nothing was out of place, and sin was nowhere to be found. I want you to read this from a British theologian. Look at what he writes. Whatever else is true of man, it is certainly true that man is not what he was meant to be. And that's right, man is not what he is meant to be, because what man was meant to be is something better. And that's what I want to talk about today. What is it that God desires for us to be? Would you stand with me out of respect for God's word? As I read from Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 26 through 28. Here we go. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help me to live as an image bearer in every possible way. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Would you, for just a moment, would you just look to the person at on your right, and then look at the person on your left? And if you're home watching, would you just look in the mirror? And here's why. Do you realize what you just looked at? According to the Bible tells us what you looked at was an image bearer of God himself. You know, I don't know about you, but when I get to this part of the scriptures, and I know we've gone, this is our third Sunday, and we're still in chapter 1. We're going to move a little bit faster after this. But I want you to know that when I get to this part of scripture, there's something that changes. Did you hear it? Did you feel it? It's almost like God just stops in the middle of creation, and he ponders what he's about to do next. It's almost as if God just takes a deep breath and he says to himself, I am now about to create the crown jewel of all my creation. In fact, the Bible says it this way. Let us make man. That's what God says. God says, let us make man. Those words are so reflective, but yet they are so laser focused. It's like for just a moment, God pauses and he thinks of the implications of what it's going to mean to create man and woman, to create mankind. Now, I say that because you and I both know he's God. So what does that mean? It means because he's God, he already knows the end of the story. Do you realize this? God continues to create man, even though that he knows that rebellion is right around the corner. God continues to create man, even knows that their tears are going to stream across the centuries. God continues to create man, even though he knows the evil, the sin, the bombs, the wars, all of the death that's going to happen. God knows that he's going to have to send his son, Jesus, his one and only son, whom he loves. He knows that Jesus is going to have to live the perfect life. He's going to watch his son as he goes to the Roman cross. And for just a moment, mind you, he's going to turn his back on his own son. He knows all of this at this moment before it's even created. And he still creates man. I don't know about you, but that says you and I must be something very special to God. So what does God mean when he says, let us make man? What does he mean by that? Well, there are some people that think that what God meant was, okay, he'd already created the angels, so what he was saying is that, okay, God and the angels, let us make man. Well, no, that's not what it was. And we know that because the Bible says that we weren't created in the image of God and angels, right? We were created in the image of God. So what does he mean when he says, let us make man? Here's what he means. He means this: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what we call the Trinity. In the very first two verses in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, we see all three parts of the Trinity. We see the Father, Elohim, as he creates. We see the Son in the Word. Remember what John said? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then at the end of verse 2, it says, and the Spirit was hovering over the waters. This is the triune God, the Trinity, three distinct different persons, three distinct roles, but one God in perfect community. I remember when I was teaching fourth grade, and I used to teach this to religion class, and here's how I would explain to them about this is how you define the Trinity. I have water, right? This is water in the liquid form. But water is also in a gas form, right? We call that what? Steam. Very good. But we also have water in a solid form. What do we call that? Ice. Oh, you guys are good. So here's what I want you to remember. So we have water in gas form, it's steam. We have water in the liquid form, which is water. And then we have water in the solid form, which is ice. We have three distinct different parts of water, but it's still water. And that's the way you can understand the Trinity, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, now, so here we have God says, let us make man. And now let's go to verse 26 and let's look at this a little bit closer. Then God said, let us make man in, look what it says, our image and according to our likeness. That word image and that word likeness is basically the same word, but here's what it means. To look like. We are to look like God. We are not gods. We are to look like God. Case in point. When you watch the football game this afternoon, how do you know what team the Chiefs are? Because they wear the uniform, right? The uniform tells everybody who's on the Kansas City Chiefs team. Everybody who wears the red jersey is a Kansas City Chief. They all look alike, right? They all look like chiefs. And that is what God did when he created us in his image and in his likeness. We all look like and reflect him. So God's purpose for you and I as we live this life on earth is to look like and reflect him, right? All right, now I want you to understand something. As the game goes on today, what's going to happen to those jerseys? They're going to get dirty, aren't they? They're going to get filled with mud. They're going to get filled with sweat. They're going to stink. They're going to look horrible, okay? That's what sin does to us. But you still know that they're Kansas City Chiefs, right? You see, what God is telling us is that he created you and he created me in the image and likeness of God so that every human being looks like and reflects God. So who is an image bearer? Every person that has life is an image bearer. Well, let's look at that a little bit deeper, because if we're image bearers, that means three things that I want you to make sure you understand. And here's the first one. We are forever separated from the animals. When God created man in his image, in his likeness, we were forever separated from the animals. In fact, God said, you know what you're to do with the animals? You're supposed to rule over them. They're for you. I'm giving them to you. The vegetation, you are forever separated from that part of creation. Here's the second thing we learn. It is the image of God that enables us to know God personally. So here's what I want you to know. When life begins, which begins at conception, that's when you're given the image of God. So here's what I want you to understand. Any destruction of anything, even in the womb, is still destruction of the image of God. I didn't say that. God says it in his word. And I want you to understand and know that this, when God creates us, remember, he creates us with a hole in our heart. It's a God-sized hole that only he can fill. Remember, last week we talked about this in great detail. Not only did God create you in his image, he put eternity in you. He put a desire for you to want to know the creator. Man, that's what I loved about Star Trek. I remember that one movie we went to. Guess what? What's your goal? I want to know the creator. That's biblical. Did you know that? Now you do. But God also gave us a self-conscious and a God-conscious. That's why we want to know him. We want to seek him. But it also means this. It means that God gave us a moral ability to decide if I want to do good or if I want to do evil. Here's the third thing I want you to know about this. It is the image of God that brings true significance to every individual, wholly apart from our circumstances. That's a tough one. I want to make sure you understand what the Bible is telling us here. The Bible is telling us that all of you here, you have significance, not because of anything you've done, not because of the way you look. You have significance because God created you in his image. That makes you really, really important to him. But that's not how the world looks at that, is it? So let me ask you something. I'm going to show you some pictures. Are these created in God's image? What about this one? What about this one? What about this one? All of them, right? They're all created in the image of God. And yet, I want you to think about something, because this has really impacted me this week. One lady pulled out in front of me, and I was just getting ready to hit the horn. I'm sorry, but I'm true confession. And just before I did, it's like God said to me, image bearer, that has a lot to do with the way we treat one another. God says that we all bear his image. No, we may not all reflect him, but we are all created in his image. And that means every one of us here and on the face of this earth matters to God. But what do? We say, you know what? She's too old. We don't need her. We can get rid of her. Or this baby isn't really life because he's in the womb, so we can destroy that. The Bible says no. Just because we don't look a certain way, it doesn't matter. Our significance comes because we are created in the image of God. Amen? So when you see one another, when you're out and about in the world, I don't care who it is, whether it's a man, a woman, a child, whether it's elderly, whether they're mentally handicapped, whether they're of different color, I want you to know they are a fellow image of God. They are a fellow image bearer, and they matter to God. This is why we're doing what we're doing. Look at what C.S. Lewis says. I love this quote. When you've never met a mere mortal, and you never will. Isn't that the truth? It is, isn't it? Now, because of that, I want you to understand that there are certain rights that we have, okay? Here's what I mean. It's the image of God that forms the foundation for human rights. If we're all created in the image of God, how dare I criticize or make fun of somebody simply because of skin color or cultural background or the fact that they speak a different language? That image of God happens from the very beginning at life. I want you to look at this. I know you know this. Have you seen this before? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence, right? Do you know what it means when it says these truths are to be self-evident? It means that they're so obvious that they shouldn't have to be questioned. And when it talks about unalienable rights, you have those unalienable rights. You know why? Because you are a human being. No, scratch that. Because you are an image bearer. And my friends, here's what I want you to know. No government gave you that right. No Supreme Court given you that right. The creator of the universe gave you that right, as recorded in Genesis chapter 1. You understand that our democracy that we live in, you understand that there's a reason why it's not working the way it's supposed to work, don't you? It's because the way it was set to work when God is the Lord of the nation. All right, now, we know that sin has changed everything, right? Sin has marred this image of Christ that I'm supposed to reflect, this image of God, but I want you to understand it didn't destroy it. It's not lost. It's still there. It's kind of like this. I have this piece of paper, and this piece of paper says, Bob, created in the image of God, but the Bible tells me is that I was born into sin, okay? The Bible says, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so this is me. I've been trampled. I've got dirt. I've got tears. I've got holes in me, but I want you to understand. You know what Jesus did? Jesus comes and he does this. Hey, Bob, you know what? You're going to be okay because I've got you. And Jesus is going to flatten me out. He's going to straighten me out, and he's going to take care of all of those rips because I'm not in me. I'm in him, right? I want you to see this, what this looks like from the scriptures. Look at what it says here. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. That's what we just did in baptism. Did you see that? When we put them in the water, a new life begins. What happens? It's a life that God has already started. Buried with Christ, raised to new life. I've never seen anybody come out of the waters of baptism without a smile on their face, because they know they're starting life all over again. Here's the next thing we need to be reminded. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Do you understand what God is saying here? He is saying that whatever you're going through in life, and a lot of you are going through life right now, God is going to use what you're going through to help you so that you can look more like the image that God created you in. If all people are made in the image of God, then anyone can be saved anywhere, anytime, and under any condition. That's the good news. Isn't that great? Remember what we learned last week? God says, I am not far from you. So all we have to do is call out, to cry out that name, and he is there. But what does he want from us? In the book of Matthew, there's a story. And it's a story where there's a group of high priests, once again, who are trying to trap Jesus. They want to catch him, and they want to catch him in some of their laws. And so they ask him, they take a coin, and they say, so tell us, so should you have to pay taxes? And the disciples are kind of mixed up, and so what does Jesus say? Jesus says, well, whose picture's on the coin? And they say, Caesar's. And remember what Jesus said? What did he say? He said, then give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. In other words, what he said was this, hey, that money, whatever it is that belongs to Caesar, you know what? You give to Caesar what is Caesar. So I want to pause for a moment, and I want to remind you of something. Who's on our penny? Abraham Lincoln, right? Who is on our nickel? Thomas Jefferson. Who's on our dime? George Washington. You know what the Lord is saying to us? He's saying, the money that you have doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the government, and you're going to give to the government what belongs to them. But what we forget is what God said after that. Remember what he said? Here's what he said. And give to God what is God's. Here's what I want to remind you of. If you were created, if you were born in the image of God, this is what that means. You have to give to God what is his. You remember, God's image is on you. So you know what that means? You need to give God your eyes. You need to give God your speech. You need to give God your ears. You need to give God your head, your arms, your legs. You need to give God your private parts. It all belongs to God to be used for his purposes. In Genesis 1, verse 27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Three times we see the word created. Now, here's what you need to know about the rules of Hebrew when they would write. When everything was written three different times, one right after another, that meant there's an emphasis on what it is, the action that's being done. So here's what the Bible is telling us here. There is a great emphasis on the action that is being done, and the action that is being done is God is creating them, listen to me, male and female. Two different roles, different, and yet they still bear the image of God. What is God creating here, my friends? Sexuality. He's telling us, boys are not girls, and girls are not boys. Let me say that one more time. This is what God is telling us. Boys are not girls, and girls are not boys. And he's given us sexuality as a gift, but we've treated it like just something so dirty. When I meet with my couples, when I'm doing premarital counseling, we talk about sexuality, we talk about sex, and I tell them this should be a regular conversation amongst you. Why? Because according to God's word, sex is a form of worship. It's the most intimate thing that a man and a woman do as they come together, but it is to be done within the confines of marriage. Can somebody say amen? One man, one woman in a monogamous relationship for a lifetime. That's the way God created it. And it is beautiful. Anybody want to say amen to that? Oh, that was weak. All right, one more and then we're done, okay? Almost done here. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. This is verse 28, and it says, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground. Here's the interesting thing is that, so before Adam and Eve are around, what does God say? God says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply, okay? I want you to increase. I want you to grow, okay? So here's what I want you to think about and understand. So what's the purpose of verse 28? The purpose of 28 is to multiply. But what is it that God wants us to multiply? Godly offspring. Do you understand? Godly offspring. You see, God wants Adam and Eve to come together. And as they live their life, and Adam serving Eve and Eve serving Adam, and they have little Adams and they have little Eves, what God is saying, I want little Adam and little Eve to see how big Adam and big Eve are, well, Eve, are serving each other. And I want little Adam to say, I want my mom. And I want little Eve to say, I want my dad. That's the way it's supposed to be. Godly offspring. So here's basically what God is saying to Adam and Eve. Go have fun. Enjoy each other. I gave you all the fruits, all the vegetables. I gave you all the animals. I want you to have a blast. I created this for you. There's only one rule, and that rule is this. There's a tree in the middle of the garden. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want you to eat of that one, because if you do, you're going to die. But I've created all of this for you. Now have at it and have fun. That's our God. That's the way he intended it to be. And we're going to talk about, starting next week, about what happened, why it didn't stay that way. But that's the way God intended to be. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's going to come back to that someday. But while we're here, we need to remember that you and I were created in the image of God to reflect him and to look like him so that the world can get a glimpse of how awesome our God is. And this is an example. But I think there's so many things that we can do that's so much better and is even going to have a bigger imprint. Amen?